Let's go. So, guys, something new. We, Stefan decided we want to do like one episode at least, but maybe more in the future, in English.
Yeah, just to approach a broader audience. Yeah. And we got some requests from friends I have in other countries. Mm-hmm. And they don't speak Dutch. Yeah. So
we'll do it in English.
We'll be social. We'll try something in English, and we'll try if we'll see if people like it or people don't, and the concepts maybe will translate a bit different to some people. Some might enjoy it even more or less. Or
ways, I think it's easier because a lot of the videos and the stuff that we read are in English anyway. So sometimes it's easier to talk about in English than in Dutch. You guys will remember, if you won't, check out the first or second episode, I think.
Yeah, it's mostly structure. About structure-based trading, but also with a bit of twist. It's more about the critical mass concept. I don't think we went too deep in that on the episode.
Yeah.
So for some people, it may be a great listen. Yeah. Although they think they heard it. Yeah. So
today we'll go into that subject again. It's not a literal translation or anything. We'll just talk about it again.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again and a bit more into the concept of critical mass, which is not my original idea for people think, oh, he's a genius. No, no, right. I stole the concept a bit. So credits where credits is due.
Okay, so let's get into it. Critical mass.
So it's a concept which I think Julien Pinault thought of, and also, and if he don't, it's from Strongfit, and he got it from a philosopher, I think, and then he put his own twist to it.
Yeah.
So it's a partly existing concept and a partly his twist to it.
Yeah. He applied it to the training
side. Yeah, he applied it to the training side, and the critical mass isn't originally a training concept. No. So he applied the training concept to it to the critical mass concept. So what is critical mass? For people, I think, what the fuck is critical mass? Most people partially think it's something in the universe, but it's not really that. So when training, you want to have your critical mass as big as possible. And what I want people to envision is like a circle. And the bigger the circle, the bigger your critical mass, the better you are. That's the broad concept.
Right.
The only thing is, there's a box around the circle. And if the box is small, the circle can't grow out of the box.
No.
And it can't grow bigger.
Yeah.
You can make the box bigger by dragging the corners outside.
Yeah.
And the wider you can drag the corners outside, the bigger the circle can grow.
Yes.
So that's what I want people to think in their head when they hear about this concept.
Right.
So if circle, the bigger circle, the better you are. And the circle is in the box. So you have to make the angles of the box go outside to give the circle space to breathe.
Right.
Let's say it like that. Right. Yeah.
So the bigger the box is, the bigger the circle can grow.
Can grow, the bigger critical mass is.
Right.
So that's just the general idea of critical mass.
Right.
And in each corner of the box, you have a subject. Well, in this instance, we were using, you have movement, you have contractions, you have planes of movement, and you have energy systems. So when training, you have to apply these concepts and train those things.
Yeah.
And each corner can go outside, and the bigger that base is, the bigger the volume of the movements and you use, of energy systems or planes of movements, the bigger box can grow.
So all corners.
Corners have to go wider.
Okay.
And you can, all corners have to go outside for the optimal critical mass, so to speak. And if you want to be the most well-rounded athlete in all domains, that's what we're striving for.
Yeah.
And especially within, I think, human athletic performance.
Yes.
What most people just want to be, a fit badass or a strong badass, and want to go outside, you want to run, play sports, you want to lift heavy shit, you want to grab somebody and throw them around. So all things need to be strong for the base things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have movement, you have squatting patterns, hinging patterns, push and pull.
So this is, now we're talking about one of the corners of the box, which is movement. I'm just going to try to visualize it for the people.
Yeah.
So one of the corners of the box is movements, and there we have these patterns. And the patterns are, again?
Squat, hinge, push, and pull. Okay. And squat is more, I would say jump.
Jump, yeah.
Yeah, but they use squat, but I will say it's more jump. And then you have load, carry, hold.
Okay.
And that's in broad sense, all kinds of movements you can perform.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you only do pulling movements the whole time, for instance, you're a rower, and you only do pull, you're a bit one-sided,
right?
Because you never do push,
yes.
You never do squat, you never do hinge, you never hold something, carry something, etc. Well, we can go into hinging, when on a boat you have to use your legs, but for people to get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have contractions. So in the human body you use concentric contractions, eccentric contractions, and isometric contractions.
Right. So this is another corner of the box.
This is another corner of the box. Contractions.
Cool.
Yeah. And cool. That. Then you have another corner, and that is energy systems. Then, you have your typical aerobic versus anaerobic, anaerobic. So you have to be good at all energy systems. So you have to be able to hit real quick. So sprint, jump, be explosive, do something for 1 second, 10 seconds, and all the way up to do something for an hour.
Right. And you need to train them all.
Mm-hmm. And you need to train them all. So if you are a marathon runner, well, you probably are only good in the energy system that is using for longer durations. You're probably not that good in real quick, real fast, real explosive.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be able to do that also.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to be strong.
Yeah.
And not only run really long for most people.
Right.
Except you want to be a marathon then.
Except for the specialist.
Yeah. For the specialist. Yeah. And you have planes of movement.
The fourth corner of the box.
This is the fourth corner of the box. And planes of movement, that is how you move. So you have all the movement patterns. But planes of movement is you want to move in frontal, medium plane, transversal plane, sagittal plane. And then as a sub-corner in that planes of movement, you have position of the hands, because we use that a lot in the sport of CrossFit. So pronation, supination, and neutral grip.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah, right.
So in basics, those are the four corners. But and I use this concept a lot in CrossFit and also a lot of programming, because I want to hit all those corners to give you a really wide base and give you the potential to have the biggest critical mass that is needed for the sport of CrossFit.
Right.
And that is the concept how I apply it in the program, in the sport of CrossFit, in the general program in the box. I really use it all.
Yes.
So if we're looking at classical competition CrossFit programming,
mm-hmm.
So we're going to take that side. It's a lot of the same movement pattern and the same plane. So barbell clean and jerks, pull-ups, chest to bars, bar muscle-ups, snatches, toe to bar, handstand push-ups. It's all done in the same movement plane,
right,
with the same grip.
Right.
And a lot of it is done with the same contraction form.
Right.
So yeah, it keeps your base and box pretty small, because you're not touching all corners.
Right. So just to summarize it, you pretty much always have a pronated grip.
Yeah.
For everything, for pull-ups, clean, snatches, everything.
Yeah, we never do underhand chin-ups and pull-ups.
Underhand snatches.
Underhand snatches. I know some people are capable of that, but they're not that wide.
They're fast movements, so it's basically all concentric contractions.
Yeah.
And everything goes up and down.
Yeah.
So it's all in the same plane of movement.
Yeah, so that's what we see a lot of CrossFit, and even with the contraction form, you can, if you do a lot of fast singles with barbell cycling, the eccentric portion is gone.
Yeah.
It's real quick, pop up, and it's done.
Yes.
So also the volume of isometric contraction is really low.
Yeah, it's
that's
really
pretty much all concentric.
Some in the hand, some squeezing, but that's it.
But that's it. And it's even that is a lot of loosey for a lot of people. So.
And even if you're hanging from a bar and you're kipping, it's not really an isometric contraction, because there's still some movement.
Yeah, and especially now in CrossFit, where people are using the grips, they make their grips out, they're just hanging the grips and not really, they're not even using the grip anymore.
Yep.
So that's a lot different. So that keeps the box really small. And on a side note, it stimulates the rate of injury, in my opinion. So that's not good for injuries. Right. But also for the build base and build a big critical mass is not too good.
Right, but if you say it like this, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a moment. If the sport is that, right? If the sport is all pronation, all concentric, and all in the same plane, why wouldn't you train it that way? Because that's what the sport is.
I like your devil's advocate already. Well, we use the concept of the pyramid. Right. So if you want a pyramid to be as high as possible, so the best sport performance outcome, you have to build a big base. So if the base ain't big, it ain't going to be a big pyramid. So if the pronation, you use the pronation grip always with everything, there's going to be certain muscle parts neglected that's needed to develop even further at a certain point. So I can also use a chain analogy. So if you have an anchor going down to sea, you know, you have all the chains locked in with the anchor.
Yeah.
But if you have like this pronated grip, it's like a big, strong ass chain.
Mm.
But then you have like the underhand grip, it's like a small little link and it will snap. So if you have weak links, at a certain point, it's going to hold up for you there.
Right.
And I think that if you look at that, it's you can't really build it out.
Right.
So an injury will occur because the you have the weak link that breaks at a certain point.
Yeah.
Or you can build the pyramid as high as you want to. So right. I think if you look at those two options, that's the viable reason. It stops you. And it's a reason why you see a lot more accessory work in the sport. A lot of people are doing a lot more accessory work than we were used to in the back in the day.
Yeah.
And a lot of persons already knew this concept really well and they know they have to add things.
Yeah.
We do a lot of like sandbag carries.
Right.
And because we'll use the team here. If you do a sandbag carry, you grab sandbag, you have to hold the bag. It's an isometric contraction. But like walk for it for like 4 or 5 minutes. You have to have an isometric contraction for 4 or 5 minutes. So that's a whole other stimulus that your body is used to. So that's a whole different area of the corner you can make bigger for a critical mass concept to be even stronger.
So that's
one thing. Even for people who don't know this, Fraser did this a lot of warms up back in the day in his little basement. He grabbed a D-ball of like 70 kilos, so 150 LBS.
Yeah.
And he used to hold it for like 5 minutes and just walk the clock out of it as a warm-up.
Yeah.
We also do a lot.
We did a lot.
And next to that, you have like the walking with the feet, so it's unilateral, so you have to stabilize all the time. So it's a great exercise.
Mm.
So if you use movements like that, you can create the corner to be even bigger.
Right.
And in the sport of CrossFit, that's not the case for the most things. So I like to see a lot of more hinge patterns done correctly, enough pulling motions, a lot of more isometric contractions, and a lot more eccentric movements to be done to build a better base for that part.
So I'm just going to summarize you again.
Yeah.
If like the sport of CrossFit is a lot of movement in the same planes, a lot of the same type of contractions, a lot of the same grip.
Yeah.
But if we train only in those planes and only with those grips and only with those contractions, there is a limit to how big the critical mass box can be.
Yes, that's a real good analogy, right? How you said that.
And what we want is we want to train the different corners of the box as well.
Yeah.
To make the box, to allow the box to grow bigger, basically.
And make the critical mass.
And grow with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. That's what we're saying.
Okay, cool.
So, and you have that for all things. So we touched on like the contraction forms.
Yeah.
But you also like the movement forms with squat, hinge, load, carry, hold, etc. If the barbell, it's not really a carry.
No.
So do with your carries. Oh, I love carries to be really strong from the sport of strongman. Grab a ball, grab farmers, walk with it, load something on something.
Yeah.
It makes raw strength that more raw strength.
Right. Yeah, and it, like you can see how much the carries are neglected if you look at it this way in like typical cross. Because what are the carries we do? It's like a walking lunge, maybe. Sometimes. Like
yeah,
that's maybe the only one in competition setting. Like a carry, like a true carry.
A true carry was, well, like lunges, I think. The walking lunge are something. Pretty much one of the all. You see the bib. You have some farmers, but not
sometimes
not really.
You've seen in the last couple of years, you've seen some sandbag carries and the Husafell back.
Husafell back, although it was a freakingly light
back,
short back, and even some people had a hard time with it. With like was shocking to me. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's not like that much.
It was 150 lbs for the guys, or was it 200?
No, it was 85 kgs.
For the guys, and
65 for the women, but those women are like freakishly strong. So I was like, give the women 85, and the guys like 100 plus.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
So then the stimulus will be real different. But Dave Castro, I think he elaborated on it one time. And he said the stimulus was just to go fast, but I was like, yeah, then just.
And it was the first time.
It was the first time. So man.
But anyway, the point is there is not a lot of carries.
But look at what we had, like the handstand walk. Yoke carry, sled pull, former carry won him at the games, which I love that event.
Yeah. That was fairly heavy as well.
Depends on for them, it was fairly heavy.
It was like 280 yoke or something, 300 yokes.
No, kilos. It was below 300, I think. And but like the former carry went heavy. I looked up, I've gotten the same number.
Yeah.
But people crumbled over the farm carrier, so like their whole upper back strength wasn't there
to
keep it in position.
Yeah.
So it was really too bad to see that.
Mm.
And so it was something they neglected. But we also had yoke carriers with last games, where they had GHC sit-ups, sandbag over the hay bale into yoke carry.
Yeah, yeah.
But there you saw the difference, who has a strong core with the yoke carries and who trains it and who doesn't. Because like the weak women or guys who don't train strongmen and are really specialized in the sport, they crumbled. They were obliterated. They couldn't carry the yoke. Where Tia, a true champion, she almost got it in one go. And I was like, fuck.
Oh yeah, that's that
one. Yeah. And also like Gubinson, the Icelandic guy, he does strongmen sometimes at the strongman gym. And he almost, I think he won the event. He was so fast.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's the best GHC shit-upper of like the best beer, but he put up the yoke and he just walked it.
Yeah.
It was a strong frame.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just that importance. Also in the sport, it's coming a bit more now, but it was really neglected a lot.
Yeah.
And if you see CrossFit classes, it's not that much there yet.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it get more in the future. So to give everybody
I think there's already like more assistance work than there was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
In classes as well. Right. I think it's starting to come. I think
it's starting to grow because you're getting more attention and
like
top CrossFitters are getting more volume in, but you can just do more ollie all the time.
No.
Without breaking, so you have to find things to get a greater volume in, but also make the base bigger, and that's what the assistant work, strongman stuff, and different base movements are that much for.
Yeah.
So I think.
So if we look at the critical mass box, you're gonna try to make all of the corners wider, let's say, and by that you're like increasing the base of the pyramid.
Yes. Yeah, and it gives you the opportunity to be as well-rounded and as big as strong and fit as possible. So you have like the one thing I would say is have more carries in the movement corner for now, or like too much, and in a broad sense, and use more isometric and eccentric contractions because the sport's more concentric. And then with the energy systems, it depends a bit on how you're training. So it's hard for me to like. I would love to say everybody is really good at pacing and isn't really good at hitting a short intensity piece, which is not lifting heavy.
Yeah.
You know, like
I think personally with this one, the weaknesses are on both extremes.
Yeah, agreed.
So I think people are generally speaking. unable to really push intensity.
Yeah.
Like really sprint. Like yeah. True sprint.
Yeah.
And people don't go long and slow often enough.
Yeah.
I think.
And like the real long and slow. Right, not like the, I did a 20 minute AMRAP at heart rate 160 to 180. Yeah, that doesn't count
like,
as that.
Like form. 2 hour, 2.5 hour bike ride long.
Yeah. Like we'll start with like 1 hour bike ride.
2 hours. Okay. We'll take it easy. Yeah.
Like in
a bit long.
Yeah. Like a real aerobic. Real aerobic training, just a long, steady pace, grind it out, not
conversational pace.
Or like semi conversational, not too heavy on the breathing side.
Yeah.
And I think those two extremes aren't trained enough within CrossFit.
Yeah.
I think those two, like everybody does like the interval and like the pretty hard pace, but not all out pace.
A lot of the stuff ends up somewhere between like the 5 and the 20 minute mark.
Yeah.
And you go hard there, but it's not a full sprint, but it's not like a slow piece either, so you're always kind of in the middle.
In the middle, so I would like to see the extreme frame more when you start CrossFit. Well, it's funny because most sports are specialized in the extreme, so that's it's real. For instance, I would love to see CrossFit where nobody trains, but we don't do it that much, but the real sprints.
Right.
Just when have you seen a CrossFit class do? Yeah. Sprint.
Not, I mean, they do it at the games, but sometimes.
Yeah, but when have you seen like in a class, okay, we're going to sprint 100 meters all out for somewhat of sets with 2 or 3 minutes of rest.
Yeah.
When was the last time we did that? I can't remember. I've seen a class do that.
Yeah, we have it, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen often.
No. True. Yeah. And we use a sled for it because it's more fun.
Yeah.
But. Well, it's not done a lot, so it's fun to see those things incorporated in your classes.
Yeah.
So if that, and then you place movement, and and then that's like the real.
Here it gets interesting.
Yeah, because like we'll start with the grips for to make it easy. Like the pronation, pretty much everything is pronation.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Everything with a barbell automatically is
pronation.
Everything hanging from the pull-up bar is also
pronation. So that's pretty much
90%
of CrossFit.
You have rope climbs, right? Those are like a neutral-ish grip.
Yeah, there's a neutral grip, I would say, and. The chin-ups, if you do chin-ups, are a supinator grip. But who does chin-ups? There are not that much people who deliberately plan that that purpose. It's mostly because some people say they're stronger in chin-ups than pull-ups, so they will choose for the chin-up grip. So that's different.
So grips.
So grip, I would start with adding that. And we had a little discussion, like, I loved when CrossFit added a dumbbell snatch.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And then a lot of members started doing dumbbell snatches pronated. And I was like,
true.
No, dude, that is
true.
But and they would say, "What I snatched this way." And this is our chance to use a neutral grip and like build a bigger base. Let's take it. And I love dumbbell rows, but they were not really that much in CrossFit sport.
Not in the sport, but accessory. Good accessory.
It's a great accessory work. I do dumbbell rows. Use a different grip. Farmer carries are the neutral grip, and then isometric correction. So you can play a lot with that. So just different kind of grips, making the base bigger and building just a stronger, more overall physique, slash stronger human.
Right.
I think that's good. And then raised movements, I think the one thing CrossFitters don't do is rotation.
Right. Yeah.
It's really hard to like get it in... the sport,
right?
And I get that,
yeah,
but there has to be some kind of rotation or anti-rotation in the training, and I think that's really hard to program for everybody, even for me. It's like because I know rotation exercise, but most of them are just not fun. You can Russian twist, but there's like, and again, the Russian twist, or you can do maces for pretty cool, but who programs maces? Like, not a lot of people, and so it's hard to get that in, and I like dumbbell snatch for that because there is a bit of rotation in it.
Yeah.
So that's a good plus for me.
Yeah, yeah. Would you say a row pull has an element of rotation as well?
Yeah, well, the row pull is like a bit of rotation, but you also have a rotational row pull.
So you can do rotational row pulls,
and that's a core killer, the rotational row pull.
Yeah.
But it helps a lot with stabilization and just moving a bit of a different angle.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot stronger. So I love row pulls. And you have the neutral grip again, or you can even do with like a supinated grip a row pull if you want to.
Yeah.
For people who are like, row pulls, what's row pull? It's like you have a sled and you put a rope to it and then you bend over and you drag the sled to you.
Yeah.
So with the rope. So I think that, and also like the start of CrossFit, you're going more front and backwards. So a sled push, you're going forward through the motion,
right,
like walking lunges, sled pushes,
right,
instead of only up and down.
Right.
Because CrossFit sports love up and down. So
mm-hmm.
I also love, like, in the beginning, the bench got a bit of like, benching's not functional fitness.
Yeah.
And then we had a few times like benches in competitions. It was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I love it for the horse total.
And I think interesting with that as well, because the bench, you know, obviously like a chest exercise, let's say. And I think 2 years before, maybe 1 year before that, you had the kipping ring dips.
Yeah, the pec tears.
Everybody tore their pecs.
Yeah.
So that's one that I think that ties nicely into this story. Actually, it's like there was a missing link there.
Yeah, yeah. We had like, for people that know, yeah, regional workout. It was heavy dumbbell snatches and kipping ring dips, and force on a kipping ring dip.
When you're trying to go that fast, because it was a sprint as well.
Yeah, it was a sprint. So when you go that fast, it's so big on the pec.
Yeah.
If you don't train it correctly, it will snap.
Right.
And I think it, like, how far you go back, like, you had a few top star lines for guys who got pec tears.
Right.
But you have a lot of guys who pretty much injured the pec after that, or light or big, because it was
some in training already, I remember.
Yeah, some in training already were out before they could even start, because they tried to work out, and they just snapped, because the tension was so big, because CrossFitters don't train your chest pretty much. So when they had to move in that plane that fast, there was just a missing training link. So if they would have done more dumbbell benches, for instance, would they have been able to not have that injury?
Yeah.
So that's a great thing to look at.
That's a good example for this story.
Yeah. So I think if we're going to train, you have to train a lot of movements and not or a lot of the different planes of movement and not just in the same plane to grow their base. So yeah, I'd really love this concept for that, just because you can have like a, how do you say, an infrastructure or like a map
right,
of what you want to train if you're looking at training.
Guidelines.
A guideline. So if you look at training and you're seeing, oh, I'm only using a pronated grip, okay, I might add some things that use a neutral grip or a underhand grip. And then you're looking, oh, I don't have any isometric exercises, so maybe I add some of that.
Yeah.
I don't have carries, I have to add some carries in this. Or, well, everything I do is between 10 to 20 minutes of a workout with the same pace. Well, maybe I have to do a longer piece sometimes, and maybe I have to do a more sprinty piece.
Yeah.
So I think I love the concept for just general training. And if you're a CrossFitter, but even like in fitness, just...
Yeah. Yeah, for everybody.
For everybody. It's like great to look at that and like complement each piece to make a bigger, stronger individual.
Yeah. Yeah, really cool. Really cool. I think this was really good. I think it's, for me, this was even more useful than the Dutch episode in this.
Yeah, I think because the critical mass concept is bigger, better explained for why you have to build a big base and what it touches and what it makes the structure, the base, better.
Right.
And I think this just goes a lot more in depth in that concept.
Yeah, cool.
Than the original. So
super cool.
Dutch people listen to our crappy English and
exactly.
We like it.
Yeah. So cool, guys. Let us know what you think of the English as well.
Yeah, especially if you're English, American,
English. Yeah.
Spanish.
Also,
French.
If you're Dutch, right, maybe
you like it more.
Not,
so we had a few English listeners or Dutch listeners in America.
Oh, okay. So let us know, guys. And any suggestions for future episodes are also still welcome.
Yeah, hit us up on socials.
Okay, see you guys later.